There is a beautiful Hasidic story that they tell about a particular Chassid who was a businessman, and as was the custom, he had to travel for the big town fair or these kind of the regional flea markets, the Yarid, and he was going to be away from his family for many, many months of business, and he started to make the trek home in order to be able to be back in time for Pesach. But it was a particularly heavy winter, terrible snow, the roads were washed out, and his travels were much slower than he would have expected and planned on. In the end, he couldn't make it, wasn't able to get home all the way back in time for Pesach. But luckily, shortly around the time where it was getting to Pesach, he was able to find a small Jewish community. It wasn't a Hasidic community, it was a real misnagdic community, but it's not exactly lechachila for him, but b'dieved, at least he found some place to stay. He found welcoming Jews who were willing to rent him a place. He was going to stay there for the Yontif, and then eventually he'd make his way home. First night of Yontif, he davens in shul with everybody else. It's a little bit different than what he's used to, but basically everything is okay. And then comes the end of davening. You have the first really dramatic difference between what he's used to and what is the minhag of this community. As we know, brought down in the Beis Yosef, there's a machlokes whether you should say Hallel in shul on the Seder night or not. And the Beis Yosef brings down that this is our minhag. In fact, this is out of Yom HaZed, this is the minhag of Sfardim. They say Hallel in shul on the Seder night. And the Ramah comments on this and says, "Avalanan, Einan Nehigin Kane. This is not our minhag." The Hasidim took on the Sephardi minhag, and since many of us are descendants of Hasidim, that's why many non-Sephardim also have that minhag. But it was really a Sephardi Ashkenazi minhag dispute initially. So this shul is a nice, good Ashkenazic misnagdic shul. They weren't going to say Hallel. But this chassid, his whole life, he always said halal and shul on Pesach night. So you don't have to say it before Aleinu, it's not the end of the world. So he waited, everyone left the shul, they all went back to the Seder, and he was alone in the shul. He was going to be alone for the Seder anyway. So he starts saying halal, and he gets very into it, and his slavas, and he's singing the tunes that he's used to. It gives him a little bit of the nechama, he feels like he's back with his family, he feels like he's back with his Rebbe. But he's getting so into it, it's so loud, that some of the people nearby, they hear it. And there's always that one person in the community who can't let it go. Everything's a melchemes mitzvah. I think a Gilgul of that guy might live somewhere in the Ramah. And he runs over to the rabbi and he says, "It's terrible. He's saying Hallel. Minhag HaMakom. Lo yasukein b'mkomeinu. This is not the way we do things." And the Rav says, "Taka, you're right." And he summons him from the shul. He should come to his house. And he says, "How come you're doing this? It's an Ashkenazi community, a Misnagdi community. The Ramah says, Anan lo nehigin kein. We don't say halal on the Seder night." So the chassid says to him, "Rishus Harav, can I answer? Can I say something?" He said, "Yes, of course." He says, "I assume," he says, "you, the Rav, you weren't in the room. You weren't there when the Ramah wrote those words. How do you know that when the Ramah wrote that, he banged on the table and said, Anan, lo nehigin kein. That's not the right thing to do. We're going to do the right thing." Maybe what he really did was, "Oy, such a zisa minhag. Aval anan lo nehigin kein. But we don't do it. What can I do? It's not our minhag." The Rav was makabel. He says, "Listen, if you don't know, maybe that's really how the Ramah felt. And if that's the case, one guy saying it in the shul is not so bad." One of the most important and dynamic Torah leaders of our generation is the great Ger Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Shaul Alter. Our family, and particularly my oldest son, were particular to have a personal relationship with him. And this is one of his favorite stories. I've heard at least twice him repeat this story. Each year in the context of Slichos, He happens to live right next to a Sephardi shul. I don't. But Baruch Hashem, this is the beauty of Kibbutz Golias. In all neighborhoods, including our own, we're not too far away. And the truth is, we gather tonight as Ashkenazim who are about to begin a long 8-day period or so, right? Before Rosh Hashanah of Slicha. Some years it can be shorter, this year we got the long one. But we know that Acheinu HaSfardim already since Rosh Chodesh Elul have been saying Slichos. And here you have the same Machlokas. The Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef brings down the Minhag HaSfardim, we begin already Rosh Chodesh Elul. And the Ramah is, Anan Lo Nehigin Kein. So Rav Shaul Alter said about himself, and if he could say it about himself, I don't have to be embarrassed to say about myself. Each year when I see the Sfardim starting Slichos, especially in yeshiva, you see these bleary-eyed guys from the beginning of Elul, each time I start the year, I go, oh, Anan Lo Nehigin Kein. But then a little time goes by, and you feel bad. Maybe it should be, Oy, Nebuch. Anan Lo Nehigin Kein. Isn't it a pity we only have 8 days before Shoshana to prepare to say extra slichas? So I'm not going to ask you what you would vote for. And the reality is, our minhag is our minhag. But at the very least, if we only have a week, if we only have a few days, so we have to have a shift in mindset. We have to look at this not as, oh, something I have to stay up later for, something I have to get up earlier for, davening is going to end 15 to 20 minutes later and longer than we're used to. We have to look at it as an opportunity, as now's our chance. Now's our chance. What can we learn from this? What can we take upon ourselves? What can we use? What can we grow? How can we use the slichos to prepare ourselves in this limited period that we have? Each year we gather, this is the fourth time we've done this before slichos, and I try to focus on a particular message each time. And I thought this year, something about the following message grabbed me, and I hope it will speak to you as well. And that is based on a well-known comment of the Ramban. The Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim in Perek Gimel, Im te'iru, im te'oru, es ahava, ad she techpatz. It's talking about, you know, the love is it's an inspiration, it's aroused, and want to grab it before it's too late. Says the Ramban, very famously, that this should be understood metaphorically, like all of Shir HaShirim. Says there are times in life where a person is inspired, im ta'iru, to have a his'orus. They feel a certain inspiration. They feel they could be inspired to do something better. Make sure, ad she'techpatz, until it has some kind of chefetz, until it can attach something tangible, something real, until you can do something, unless you do something with it, you're going to lose it. If you just have inspiration, so to speak, floating around, you're on a high, you feel that rush of whatever it is that inspired you, but if you don't concretize it, ad she'techpatz, sooner rather than later, the moment will be gone, and so will your opportunity for growth. The Chafetz Chaim, in a very similar vein, points out that this may be the message of one of the most famous psukim in the entire Torah. We read not that long ago in the beginning of Sefer Dvarim in Parshas Ekev, Va'ata Yisrael Ma Hashem Elokecha Shaul Me'imach Ki'im Lira, etc., etc. And the Medrash, actually in Bereishis Rabbah, commenting on another pasuk in which you have the word Va'ata, tells us, according to at least one interpretation, Ein va'ata ela tshuva. But the word va'ata is always a hint. It's a remez to tshuva. How does the Medrash know that? Shenemar quotes the pasuk in Parshas Ekev. Hey, that's the Medrash. That va'ata is a remez to tshuva. So Chafetz Chaim, you know, is a prolific writer. And as I often point out about him in particular, but and others, when he was a little kid, his mom didn't call him Chofetz Chaim. We have a minug, I think it's a very beautiful minug, that we call people after their svarim. Chofetz Chaim is one of those rare people, he had at least two svarim that were so dominant that you could either be the Chofetz Chaim or the Mishnah Berurah. The truth is he wrote many, many other svarim. Not all of them are so popular, but probably if I had to guess what's his third most popular sefer, I would say Avas Chesed. And sure enough, in Chelek Beis, in Perek Yud Aleph of Avas Chesed, the Chafetz Chaim brings down this medrash, and he says, it's a nice idea, but the power vested in Chazal, they just decided, Va'ata is a remez for tshuva. But Heichen Ramiza, he says, where do you see that? Where in the world does the medrash get it that this pasuk says, Va'ata, Ata means tshuva. And how do we know it? Because it says the parshas Ekev. I look at the parshas Ekev up and down, says the Chafetz Chaim. There's nothing obvious that Va'ata, that word Va'ata means tshuva. That can be taken out of context and employed, that the word Va'ata, where do you see that in the pasuk? Says the Chafetz Chaim something amazing. Hakavana hu bazeh, the ikar koach hayetzer, the main effective, the most potent power that our yetzer hara has, shehu mita'el ha'adam leimor. It tricks us, it makes us trip up, it makes us make a mistake and say the following. Hayom, ein lecha p'nai lilmod v'la'asok b'mitzvos ulhitbonein b'nafshecha. You don't have time now. I understand that maybe you were speaking to a friend you hadn't seen in a while, and you're catching up with him, and you see he's unbelievable. Look what he's pulling off. He's explaining to you how he rearranged his work schedule, and he has 2 hours every morning to learn. Or you met another person, he's waking up at 4 a.m. every day to learn. He could grab this, and this other person comes home from work late at night and learn. This person just made a see him on Shas. There's so many different ways a person can be inspired. Maybe even the rabbi inspired me. Less likely, but possible also. What do you do with that inspiration? So says the Chafetz Chaim, the most common and the most potent trick of the Yetzer Hara is just to delay. Not to say, no, it's wrong. What can be wrong about learning Torah? You get inspired to daven better. You get inspired to do more chesed. What the Yetzer Hara is going to tell you, these are bad things? We know what's right. If that would be the strategy of the Yetzer Hara, it wouldn't go anywhere. So a successful Yetzer Hara is much more subtle. I never saw it in print anywhere. I'm not saying it's not, but I haven't seen it. But they say there's a Shemua that Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein used to say that one of the great Musar Sfarim ever is the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. So I don't know if he said it or he didn't, but it's great. It's a great Musar Sefer. It's a really Kedai book to read. And for those who haven't read it, it's really ingenious. The whole book is letters written from a senior, in his terminology, he was Christian, a devil, to a more junior devil. You just have to swap out the word Yetzer Hara for devil, and it's a brilliantly, totally kosher Jewish book. And his whole point is you see from the Yetzer Hara's perspective what their perspective is on what's success and what's not success. Of course, for us, you have to look at it through one of those funny mirrors. What the book, from the perspective of the Yetzer Hara, thinks is success, of course, that for us is failure. And one of the points, I forgot to look it up tonight to give you the exact quote, but one of the points that I remember being so brilliantly described in that book is exactly this point, because if I'm not mistaken, I think the young Yetzer Hara is telling his boss, you know, this person who I'm supposed to ruin his life, you know, he got inspired by something and I tried to talk him out of it and tried to tell him, no, that's a bad idea, and I was so unsuccessful. All that happened was he said he'll do it tomorrow. And the more senior Yetzer Hara says to him, you don't realize, you just won. If you were just focused on never do it, that you know, he already knows it's the right thing to do, then you would have been, that's a failure. But all you had to do is get him to push it off. And that's everything. So he was mechavim, that's exactly what the Chafetz Chaim says. He says, that's the greatest tachbula, that's the greatest strategy of the Yetzer Hara, to just delay. And therefore, he continues, as a result of that, a person says, "Lamachar liyoma achara taase kolze shaz tia panui mitir dasecha." And therefore, Kamash Malon says the pasuk, says the medrash, "Va'ata ma Hashem alokecha shalom imach." Now, right now, that's the remez for tshuva. The only way to grow, and this is again echoing what we just started with from the Ramban in Shir Hashirim, is when you have that moment of inspiration. They don't come around every day. And if we're being honest, the older we are, the more infrequent they come. Because the more we're set in our habits. But if we have a moment of inspiration, we have to concretize it, we have to do something with it, we have to make it real. Another example of this, in a very beautiful way, is Chazal's interpretation of the story of Yisro. Right? The pasuk begins, "V'yishma Yisro choein mijan," all that Hashem had done for the Jewish people when they went out of Mitzrayim. So Rashi asks, "Mashmua shama uba?" He answers, "Kriyas yamsuf u'mechamas amalek." What's the question? What's the answer? What's going on? So if you take a look at the Zohar on that pasuk, the Zohar, I think, asks the question in a way that presumably this must be what Rashi means. The Zohar asks, "V'chi Yisro shama v'chal alma lo shamu?" That's really the question that Rashi is getting at, the Chazal are getting at. Not what did Yisro hear? What did Yisro hear that no one else heard? How come it was only Yisro who came to the Jewish people? Presumably, the assumption of the question is that must have been something wild, something special, something unique that no one else knew about. Why is it that only Yisro came? After all, as the Zohar continues, we say every day, Shamu Amim Yergazun, the whole world heard, the whole world shook. Yisro's not the only person who heard about Kriyas Yamsuf and Mechamas Amalek. Ella, says the Zohar, Kol Alma Shamu V'lo Itbaru V'hai Shama V'itbar V'itchape Mikamei D'kutcha Brichu V'skarev L'dachalte. Yisro heard the same thing everyone else heard. But he didn't say, you know, next time I have a chance, I'm going to go maybe check it out. The next day, Yisro came. Yisro didn't wait. He didn't procrastinate. He didn't push it off. Yisro understood the message of Va'ata. If you have that moment of inspiration, you have to act on it now. As the Ramban taught us, if you have a Te'iru, if you have a Te'oru, Ad She'techpatz, you have to concretize it. You have to do something with it. You need to act right away when you are inspired. But I just want to transition and make one last companion point before we begin the slichos, and that is, you have to be smart about it. Because if you rush too quickly into something, or if you take something upon yourself without thinking about it too clearly, it's very, very likely that it's not going to last. And in fact, one of the most depressing moments of my Torah life was the first time I saw the comment of Chazal. I think it's in at least two different Midrashim, and a Yalkut, and another Midrash that says that shortly thereafter, Chazar Yisro Lesuro. The Torah itself tells us that Yisro didn't want to go with the Jewish people. The Torah itself doesn't tell us what happened to him. The Midrash says Yisro went back to the Avodah Zarah of Midian. What a depressing, heartbreaking, deflating afterthought for that story. How could it be? Why would that have happened? The same Yisro, who was so inspired, he heard everything everyone else heard, and yet he came, and yet Yisro eventually lost it. And the answer, I saw this in a number of the Musar Sfarim, I'll point out that yes, Yisro had a momentary inspiration, but the spiritual high doesn't last. Unless you can take on something that you can think about very carefully, you can constantly work on, you can keep at, it's not going to last. The Vilna Gaon says in Eben Shlema, "Emein adam mishtada la'alos tamid malamala, al kein yared matamata." If you're not, if you don't, it's much better to take something smaller and realistic. You can keep on working it, that you can maintain. Because if you're not going up, 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 really the spiritual gravity, the natural gravity forces of spirituality are to take you down. Spiritual growth is like running up on a down escalator. If you're not actively trying to go against that gravitational pull down, you're not going to be able to go up. And therefore, when it comes to taking things upon ourselves, hopefully, now that we can join, as we spoke about at the beginning, our Sephardi brothers and sisters, and say, oh, now we get the chance, now we have the schus to be doing slichos, hopefully these will be moments not only of a little less sleep, but hopefully of a lot more inspiration. But the question is what we do with that inspiration. Number one is we have to figure out, each of us in our own lives, what's one thing, what's something that we can, in a concrete way, do better. It could be Benam L'Makom, and just as importantly, it could be Benam L'Chavero. And as I always point out, Benam L'Chavero starts at home. You don't have to look to strangers and far-flung chesed causes, of those are important too. A lot of chesed a person could do under their own roof. We could all be better spouses, better parents, better children. Those of us who are zochah to have that opportunity. There's different ways in Beram L'Chavera we can help beyond the wide world, which of course we have to help also. And then there's obviously Beram L'Makom. But we have to think of ways in which we can concretize the inspiration of this season. And then we have to think of ways that are smart, so that they're the kind of things that we know we'll be able to keep up with and not lose. I'll conclude with the words of the Sfas Emes, not just looking back, but looking forward. We just finished Parshas Kisavo, and next week, right before Rosh Hashanah, we'll read Parshas Nitzavim. And the Sfas Emes points out that we always read Nitzavim before Rosh Hashanah. Why is it that Nitzavim has to come for Rosh Hashanah? So he suggests that it relates to the opening Rashi's there on the Parsha. There, the Chazal asks, Rashi quotes, why are we having this big ma'amad? Why are we gathering everyone together for this big speech? Why? Atam Nitzavim, everyone has Kulchem Hayom, everyone has to be gathered together. Why? So Rashi quotes, because since they are going to be Parnas Laparnas, is the transition of Yoshua from Moshe to Yoshua, so they needed to have a special ma'amad to gather them together for some thoughtful Hisorus. Says the Sfas Emes, every year, each and every one of us go Miparnas Laparnas. Each year is its own story. Each year is as if we were going through a different experience. And as we're going to transition from one year to the next, it's important to stop, to have some thoughtful reflection, some thoughtful contemplation. And just like the Rashi tells us, before they were going to go from Moshe to Yoshua, they ended up, you know, stop, what was it? Stop, roll, and, or something like that. How was that? The fire? Stop, drop, and roll. Right? The first thing is stop. The first thing is stop. Yeah, it's important not to run too fast. Atem Nitzavim. First, we have to use these last moments of this year to think about where we've been, to be inspired, but then to do it in a thoughtful way. Not run too quickly, but in a thoughtful way. What is something that we can concretize, but also keep with us? And hopefully, if we can do that, we can be Zocha, so that hopefully we will have inspiration this year. The call of the shofar, the sweet sounds of the slichos, will inspire us, will take on something, and hopefully be the kind of thing that we can keep at it, so that hopefully this time next year, there'll be other things we can work on, but we'll know that we had a year of successful growth. Amen, v'chein yihi ratzon.